God's Word guides us and leads us and helps us. We believe life is lived at best when we live according to this Word, and we believe that when life comes off the rail, very often it's because we're not living according to this Word. So I invite you to stand as we hear now the reading of God's Holy Word. These are the words of Jesus. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So, one of my favorite baseball heroes of the past, you may have heard of him, may not have heard him, I know a lot of these guys have, but one of my favorite baseball heroes of the past is a guy named Yogi Berra. Ever heard of Yogi Berra? Yogi Berra died in 2015, but he was a legend in a lot of ways. He was a catcher for the New York Yankees. He was a member of 10 World Series winning teams. It's pretty impressive. 10 World Series. But I liked Yogi Berra not just because he was a great athlete, but because of some of the things he said. There was a book written by him later on and along with him entitled Yogiisms, Things That Yogi Berra Would Say. And so I thought I'd begin today by sharing with you some of the most famous Yogi Berra statements. For instance, he said, "Nobody goes there anymore. It's just too crowded." You'll get it tomorrow afternoon. Another time when he was speaking of baseball, he said this. He said, "90% of baseball is mental. The other half is physical." It was Yogi Berra, who you may have heard before. You've heard the term, it's deja vu all over again. That's a Yogi Berra statement. My favorite Yogi Berra statement of all time is this. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. Young man, you have come to a fork in the road. You are at a determining place in your life journey. There are other people who are going to be graduating college and all those sorts of things. But you are standing, believe it or not, now at a fork in the road. Robert Frost wrote a poem, and the title of the poem is The Road Less Traveled. I have a book entitled The Road Less Traveled, but he concludes his poem, The Road Less Traveled, he concludes his poem by saying this, "I took the road less traveled, and it has made all the difference." It was similar advice that Jesus was giving when he spoke to a group of people about life. Jesus essentially said, there are two ways you can go with your life. Two, you stand on the brink of what is to come, and there are two primary ways you can go. Jesus said, there is one way that's wide, and it's easy, and most people are going to take that. There's another way, he said, that's narrow. It's hard, you need to know that, and not many people are going to choose it. But he said, there is the wide gate and there is the narrow gate. But he said, the narrow gate leads to life. That's the term Jesus used. He used life. Life will be found in that direction. I suspect in this audience today, there are a lot of people who are at a fork in the road. I suspect it's not just graduating seniors. I suspect that it's not just about school. There are people here today who are at a fork in the road when it comes to work and to relationships and to habits. Maybe there's a habit you need to give up. Maybe there's a habit you need to take up. You are at a fork in the road in your life. The question is, what next? Which way will you go? There is a scene in Alice in Wonderland where Alice encounters the cat, and she says to the cat, she says, "Tell me, please, which way I ought to go?" And the cat responds by saying, "Well, it depends on where you want to go." "Oh, I don't care," says Alice. "Then it doesn't matter which way you go," says the cat. "Well, I want to go somewhere," says Alice. "Oh, you're sure to do that," says the cat. "You'll go somewhere." The point is, you can be intentional about your direction, but whether or not you are intentional, life is moving. If you get nothing else, continue to hear this. Life is fluid. Life continues to move forward. It's ever moving. And the good thing is to decide the direction you want to go and choose that way. Jesus invites us to choose a way that's more difficult. I just need to be upfront with you about that. Jesus invites us to choose a way that few people will choose, but it is the way, he said, that leads to life. So what I want to do for just a few minutes this morning is I want to flesh that idea out. What does it mean to move and live in this narrow gate? In this, Jesus said there are two ways. You can go this way, you can go that way. This is going to lead toward destruction. This way is going to lead to life. The question is, what does it look like to choose the narrow way? And I want to share a couple things with you. The first one is this. Make your decisions and your choices based out of your beliefs, your values, and your convictions. Decisions based on what you feel in the moment are often decisions you regret later. And all of God's people said, yeah. So it's really, really important at this point, because you've had people teaching, you've had teachers teaching you, parents teaching you, friends, you've had lots of voices pouring into you. Now it's time for you to begin to define some core convictions for your life, some non-negotiables. Make your decisions not based on what you feel in the moment, because people who make decisions in the moment, because feelings are fickle, feelings change. I can't even imagine what the world you're going to be in and live in and work in is going to be like. We've seen a lot, but we're also going to see a lot coming down the road. 80 years ago, 1943, 80 years ago, a guy by the name of Thomas Watson was the president of IBM. And he said this, 80 years ago, he said, quote, "I think there may be a world market for perhaps 5 to 10 master computers." 80 years ago. In 1978, 45 years ago, Ken Olson, the president of Digital Equipment on making computers, he said this, "There is absolutely no reason any individual ought to have a home computer that they live with every day." 45 years ago. Things change. There are extraordinary changes. You'll experience some of them. You will help some of those changes take place if you are your own person and are not swayed by the latest whatever. Be your own person. Have the moral courage to say, "I was wrong." People don't want to say, "I was wrong." People don't want to say, "I am sorry." But since you're all guys, I will say this. It takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. It takes a big man to say, "I am sorry. I'll choose the right way. I'm going to make my decisions based on working hard and persevering." And young men, please hear me when I tell you this. Contrary to what the current trend in our culture may be, you are not entitled to anything. The world doesn't have to be kind to you or fair or honest. You are not entitled to free stuff because someone always pays for the free stuff. And all of God's people said amen. Resist the temptation to ever, ever, ever play the victim. Resist that temptation. There are real victims in our world, and they are real. But there's a difference between a victim and a victim mentality. Do you know what I mean by that? There's a difference. Resist the temptation to play the victim. The world doesn't owe you stuff, contrary to what the popular idea out there is. 10 years from now, there'll be a high school reunion for the class of 2023. I would assume most of you will be there. You'll be sharing what your life is like, and there'll be people there who will be complaining. Okay? I'm just going to project into the future. There'll be people who will there who will be saying, I haven't gotten any breaks. I've had all the bad luck. There'll be some people there who may say, the company had it in for me, or the boss played favorites. And then there'll be other people there who will have had success in their careers, in their community, in church leadership. What's going to be the difference in those two groups? The difference will be that one group of people decided to work hard and persevere and succeed, and the other group decided to rely on chance and circumstance. It's the harder way. Not many people are going to choose it. Go that way. Go that way. There is no pillow so soft as a clear conscience. So when you put your head on the pillow at night, be okay and sure as best you can of the fact that you've given it everything you had, that you've been honest, that you have no regrets in how the day has unfolded. Be a person who lives by convictions, not feelings. Second thing I want to say to you is this. Be a person who cares about people. Have you noticed the world is all about me? It's all about me. It's me, 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 me. Make the decision to care about people, to build them up rather than tear them down. It's also pretty prevalent in our culture to tear people down right now. Don't you do that. Be better than that. With your life, you're going to influence people. You're going to influence them for good. You're going to influence them for bad. I invite you to choose the way less traveled. Choose to build people up. Choose kindness. Choose compassion. Choose grace. Listen carefully. It's harder. There are not as many people who will do it, but it's the way that will lead to life. Choose to build people up. It's the way of service. It's the way of using whatever vocation you're in to improve the quality of life, not just for you, but for people around you. Be your own person. It's essential. But also realize you're not on this earth just for you. You're on this earth to help build people up around you. When everything is said and done, people aren't going to be as interested in how many hours you spend at the office as they are the kind of difference you made in others' lives. Be the kind of person who builds other people up. It will make all the difference, not only in your life, but in theirs. So I'll say what I said again that I said a moment ago. There is no pillow so soft as a clear conscience. So when you do put your head on the pillow at night, you can say, today, I have been more of a person who built people up then torn them down. Be that kind of person. The third thing I want to mention to you is this. Be God's person. You cannot please everybody. You cannot please everyone. Focus on pleasing God. St. Augustine said in a prayer, You have created us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. The philosopher Pascal said the same thing in a different way. He said, there's a God-shaped vacuum in every person that only God can fill. You can't please everyone. You cannot please everyone. Make sure that you remember, at the end of the day, the audience you're seeking to please is an audience of one. It is God. So when you put your head on the pillow at night, you'll be able to say, dear God, I've tried to please you today. It is reflected in what you do. It is reflected in how you live. Discover early, discover now, please discover now, if you haven't already done so, to place God and His Son Jesus Christ at the center of your life and let everything else work out from there. Okay? I want to close my brief comments by sharing a little story with you that made a huge difference for me. It's been 40 years since I graduated high school, 40 years. And I have often wished I had had somebody say to me some things that would have really, really, really stuck with me. I hope today does stick with you. I want to share with you a little story. One of my favorite writers in the world is a guy named Robert Fulghum. Some of you in this room may know Robert Fulghum by All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. He tells about attending a seminar on the island of Crete, a seminar taught by a very famous lecturer named Alexander Papaderos. Alexander Papaderos was an expert in Greek culture, and Fulghum said, and I quote, I learned so much about Greece, its history, its art, the things that were going on. During those 2 weeks, it made a difference. At the last session, Dr. Papaderos turned to the group and asked if any in the group had questions. The room was silent. Crickets. No questions, he said, as he panned the room. So Robert Fulghum raised his hand and he said, Dr. Papaderos, what is the meaning of life? Well, there were snickers all over the room, and some folks thought it was a flippant kind of question. But the professor zeroed in on him and to see that he really did want to know what the professor thought. And Dr. Papaderos said this. Reached into his pocket, took out his wallet, opened his wallet, and in his wallet he had a small round mirror about the size of a quarter. When I was a child, he said, during the war we were very, very poor. We lived in a remote village. One day I was walking down the road and I found a broken piece of mirror. A German motorcycle had wrecked there and the rearview mirror was broken into pieces. I tried to gather all the pieces I could and put them back together, but I couldn't, so I just kept the largest one. I worked to round off the edges and make it smooth, and this is that mirror. He held it up for them. I began to play with it, he said, and make a toy of it. I became fascinated with the fact that it could reflect light. You know how if you put a mirror at a certain angle, it'll reflect light? I could catch the light and I could reflect it into dark places, places where the light itself couldn't go. I kept that mirror, he said, and as I grew up, I came to realize it was a metaphor for life. Now listen to this piece. I can reflect the light of God into the darkest places of this world and into the spots of the human heart that are dark. I can change some things. I am not the light. I am not the source of the light, but I can reflect the light. This is what I'm about, he said. This is what I am about, reflecting the light. And with that, Dr. Papaderos went to the window with that little mirror, and he caught the light, and he shined it into Robert Fulghum's eyes. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. There is a narrow way, and there is a hard way. And I'm telling you, gentlemen, that's the way you need to go. It won't always be easy, but you will have the love and support of people around you. You'll have the love and support of a congregation that cares deeply about you." So I'll end with a statement I've made a couple of times in my comments already. When you put your head on the pillow at night, make sure you have no regrets about what you've done, what you've said, how you've lived. When you put your head on the pillow at night, make sure you've done the best you could possibly do to reflect light into the darkness of people's lives. There's a lot of darkness. I want to invite you to reflect light. That's what Jesus asks you to do, and that's the way that leads to life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all the people said, we're going to close our